Welcome, and thanks for joining us for the weekly podcast of Center Church San Diego. We are so happy to connect with you online today. You matter to God. You really do. Whatever your past, no matter what your circumstance right now, God loves you. And you belong right here. Hope starts now as we invite Christ to take his rightful place at the center of our lives. So let's jump in.
I remember when a small little ragtag group of people began a meeting together, deciding to start something that we were going to call Center Church. But at the time, we didn't even know it was going to be called Center Church. We had to go to a very special place where all great thinking is done. We went to Lolita's for tacos. Am I right, Chris? I mean, I'm not kidding. This is the place. This is the general world headquarters of Center Church. Before it was Center Church, Lolita's Tacos. And we kicked around some of those different ideas. But here was what was at the center of this, was this passion, this idea that we wanted to go be a light for Christ in the center of San Diego, where there weren't a ton of other prevailing churches around. And I remember people early on, many of you are in this room, that began to say, I'm in on that. I'm jumping in on that too. I'm all about going and being the light in the middle of a dark place. I would like to be a part of that. And one in particular kind of made me laugh right out of the gate. I remember sitting down to dinner with Matt and Lanny Barnes. If you know Lanny, helped lead worship tonight. And I sat down with Matt and Lanny Barnes, and this was Matt's communication to me. He said, "You know, we heard that you were getting ready to start and plant a church. And we've prayed about it, and we're in. We're coming with you. Sorry about that." and I have been sorry ever since, Matt. Thank you so much. But like, this is the kind of people that jumped in right at the beginning. Didn't have it all together. Didn't have it all figured out. Weren't really sure even all that God was calling us to do. We just had this idea to go and jump into the center of the city's greatest darknesses. And as we talked about it, what we discovered, we were kind of reflecting, is that that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus went and found the place of greatest darkness that he could find, and he went and brought the light of God there. That's kind of like Jesus' MO. And so we thought, like, well, if we're going to invite Jesus to come in the center and we're going to actually be about Jesus stuff, then we better go jump in the darkness too. And that is what Jesus did, and that's what we're called to do. And that has been the essence of our church for now 5 years, because that backyard experience happened in the summer of 2013. Now, a century ago, there was a group of really brave souls known as the One Way Missionaries. And it was around the turn of the previous century, and what they did was they went and purchased one-way tickets to the South Pacific. But the reason that they were called one-way missionaries is not because they bought one-way tickets. They were called one-way missionaries for a slightly darker reason. The reason they were called one-way missionaries is because they packed all of their worldly possessions that they were taking with them on this trip in their coffin. They went and loaded up in the boat to go to the South Pacific, packing all of their worldly belongings in a coffin. And when they set sail, they were basically prepared to never return to where they set sail from. That's really what they were saying. We're all in here. And there was one guy in particular, his name was J.W. Milne. He was one of those missionaries. That's what he looked like, a handsome fellow, right? J.W. Milne, he was a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands in the South Pacific. And he was one of these guys that packed all his stuff in a coffin. Now, what made that particularly daring for him is that he was actually going to an island where every missionary before him had been martyred for his faith. There were no success stories in the New Hebrides Islands. They had killed everyone that had ever gone there before. So packing his belongings in a coffin was quite apropos. And so he went there ready to lay it all on the line. And what's incredible, this guy had so died to himself that he really had no fear for his life, and so he left for the New Hebrides. But maybe what's even cooler than that is that not only when he arrived was he not killed, he actually went on to have a 35-year ministry in the New Hebrides Islands. Okay? They kind of liked JW, okay? They dug him, and he stuck around for 35 years, and when he did eventually die, this was the epitaph that was written on his tombstone. Look at this. This blows my mind. His tombstone read, "When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness." When he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. He walked smack into the center of the greatest darkness he could find, and he brought the light of Jesus there. And I don't know about you, but that just challenges the socks off of me. Because, like, I think about my wildest commitment that I have ever made to God. It has never involved a coffin. Who's with me? Okay? It's never involved, like, crazy tribal, like, bows and arrows at me. There's no flaming darts. There's no poison involved. This guy was pretty radical. And I'll tell you what, that kind of radical sacrifice seems really almost foreign to us in our day. But here's my takeaway. And it's really something that we set out to do when we planted Center Church. Listen to this. The goal in life is not to arrive safely at death. The goal of life is not to just arrive safely at death. I got news for you. If you're a believer in Jesus here tonight, Jesus didn't die to keep you safe. He died to make you dangerous for him. And let me say that again. Some of you are like a little slow. It's good preaching. And like, we're just going to say it again. Okay? Jesus didn't die to keep you safe. He died to make you dangerous for him. Do you see how it's like not on the defensive? It's offensive. It's offensive. It is go and make a difference. And so as a church, what we did now 5 years ago, we started walking around downtown neighborhoods. We started going and looking for darkness. You ever walked around a downtown neighborhood? It's hard to miss. We walked into Barrio Logan, and we walked through the East Village, and we walked through Sherman Heights, and we walked through Cortez Hill, and we walked into South Park and Golden Hill, and we walked into Bankers Hill, where we are here tonight. And it's pretty easy to find. And we thought to ourselves, you know what? If we're going to go walk to the greatest darkness we can find, I think we found it. Let's go be the light of Jesus there. And that's been 5 years ago. And it was there that we sort of wrote our own mission statement together as a church. If you've been around for a while, you've heard it. Our mission is Christ at the center of me and me at the center of his city. And that's exactly what we have done. We've done that. Check. And we started out in this like no-frills backyard in South Park. So if you're new around here, and like I love our digs tonight. Isn't this nice? We've come a long way, baby. Okay? I'm telling you what, there were a few occasions in the backyard where it just like straight up rained. We had to like have like a visqueen tent over the top of what we were doing. All right? But you know, most of the rest of the time we were really, you know, I don't know, paying our dues in 72 and fair. Let's be honest, it's not that difficult in backyards in San Diego, but that was us. And so what we would do, this small group of people began to gather in this backyard, and we began to pray, we began to strategize, we began to connect with one another on the regular, talk about roles and responsibilities, things that we could do, stuff like that. And the bottom line was we were asking God to lead us. And it was there in that little place that we solidified our commitment to the cause. We've been pounding the table about it ever since. And I used the analogy at that time, and in a lot of ways, we're like, hey, we're all in this together, but it's even more than that. It's almost like as a people, we're all in the same little life raft, and the shore's over there, and we've all got to paddle, and we're all going to have to paddle if we're going to make it to shore. We all paddle, we're all going to make it. If we don't, we're all going to die. Okay, let's take an offering, close in prayer. Like, it was like, but that is kind of like the passion that we had for this stuff. And I tell you what, while we have not arrived, I will say, God has gone ahead of us at every step of the turn. He has provided for us in miraculous ways. I can just recount a few of them for you. You know that on regular weekends right now, we meet at Perkins Elementary School. There's a story behind why we're even at that school. And it's because before we even started services, we started connecting and serving that school and participating in cleanup projects there at the school before school would start. And I met the principal and told him what we were all about. And he said, you know what would be awesome? Why don't you come and have church here? And I said, okay. It's an open door. It's an opportunity. Is there any struggles around here? Yeah, we got plenty of them. 35% of the students are homeless. Perfect. We're in. And we started meeting there in that school. And we started doing the work of ministry in that place. And God provided that spot for us. Early on, when we were wanting to put the word out or get the word out a little bit about who we were, nobody knew. We're in a backyard. And so we were going to put out a mailer that people would get in, you know, like, hey, their new church is starting and all that kind of stuff. The only problem was we had lots of ideas. We just didn't have any money. And it was going to cost us $10,000 to do a mailer for downtown communities, neighborhoods that were right around. Like, hey, we're going to have a new church. Great idea, just no money. But we got together as a leadership team and we prayed and we said, God, we feel like you've called us to the darkness. We want to kind of get the word out that we're going to actually set up shop and do stuff. We feel like we're supposed to tell people that we're beginning, but we don't have the resources. And we would pray, God, provide these resources for us to do that. $10,000, Lord, we need it. And we didn't have 10 cents to rub together at the time. We really didn't. But we said, you know what? God's called us. We're going to go for it. We're wading into the water. We're going to put this thing out. It's go big or go home, right? And so we did that. And the next day, I got a call from Ronnie, who is our secretary treasurer on our board. And he said, hey, MJ, you told me that if we ever had anybody mail us anything, I should call you. And I just wanted to let you know that today I went to the post office box and I opened a letter. And inside the letter, there's a letter from a dude in Waco, Texas. Do you know anybody in Waco, Texas? And this is before that, you know, renovation show. What's the name of the show? This is before anything cool happened in Waco, okay? I said, no, I don't know anybody in Texas. He said, well, it's a doctor in Texas, and he heard about the work that we're doing in downtown San Diego. He wanted to cheer us on, and he wants to be a part of it, and he just put a check for $10,000 in the envelope. I said, really? Good, because I spent that yesterday. Perfect. There was more. I mean, there's been so many. We were in monthly services for about 4 months before we went every week. And while we were in monthly services, we rented a sound system like this because we didn't have enough money to go buy a sound system. And we figured, well, we'll just rent one because we're just doing it once a month. But when we went to go have services every week, we're like, this is going to get out of hand. It's too much money. We're going to need to buy a sound system. Just basic stuff. No frills, nothing crazy, but we need something. And here we are again. I already spent the money from Waco, Texas, and we don't have 10 cents to rub together again. But we sat and we prayed together again as a small group, as a leadership team. And we said, Lord, we don't have what we need, but we believe that you've called us. And we believe that you're in this. And you would never call us to something that you would not provide for. And so here we are in need again. And you know how much money we needed to get just the bare-bone sound system? We needed $10,000. We prayed, said, Lord, we're going to move ahead. We're moving forward. You have called us. We're all in. We made that decision. Literally 45 minutes later, Ronnie called me again. He said, you know, I just got a $10,000 check in the mail to resource exactly what we just decided to do. It's just like amazing. Now, we're not perfect. There have been lots of bumps in the road. I mean, I'm the lead pastor. Good Lord. Okay? But we have seen God go before us. God has been with us. And I just feel like I gotta recognize the fact that we're just a miracle sitting here. You may not even realize how much. You may not know that 40% of church plants fail in the first year. Did you know that? 40%. and 80% close within the first 5 years. August was 5 years, and we're still here, baby, right? Yeah. That's the good news. The bad news is I need $10,000. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. But we have rowed the boat together, you guys. It's been huge, and it hasn't been easy, but we're still going. And here's why we've gathered here tonight. It's because I believe that we are approaching another very strategic intersection as a church, perhaps even more significant than the moment when we first launched. It's really, really big. It's a moment for us. I believe it's a defining moment for us as a church. And I personally have been through a monumental process over the last year and a half or so, just as a person. There's been a lot of identity shaping in me over the last year and a half. I've had to break up with a lot of concepts. I know nobody else has concepts about life, but I've had a few, and I've had to break up with a few. And it's even been painful in that process sometimes. But I can honestly say, I am a transformed man having followed the Lord on this mission. I hope you can say the same about your life. But I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that this is our most pivotal moment as a church. In those early meetings, Jen and I surrounded ourselves with people that we knew would pray, people that we knew would commit, people that we knew would invest and plan and go all in for the next season of Center Church. And we're at a similar critical time, I really believe that. There's a new chapter that lies ahead of us. And it's an opportunity that we have never seen before. There's a door opening for us that's into a place where we've never been to help take this mission of making the hope of Jesus impossible to ignore into new places. And so I've gathered all you guys together tonight because I know you guys are the leaders. You're the strategists, you're the thinkers, you're the dreamers, you're the folks that serve, you're the folks that are all in and committed. You want to like go get with Jesus. This is why we're here together tonight, because you've invested yourself in that way. You're Jesus' first people. And that's who we are. If I want anything said of me at the end of my life, it's that. He was a Jesus first man. Jesus first. Everything else came second. Everything else down the line, Jesus first. And I believe that God is calling us into a new thing. It's not just the wash, rinse, and repeat, all of the things that we have done up to this point. They've been great, but the picture that I have in my head is that the road doesn't just continue straight on from here. It's not just more of the same. Hasn't it been great? Yes, but there's more, and it's a new place. And so this has prompted me to take a deep dive into God's Word, to kind of determine what this might look like for us as a church, what might God be asking of us in this season. And this is the passage of Scripture I want to share with you that kind of distills what I think God is calling us toward next. And it's found in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. This is the Voice translation. Paul writes this. He says, "I'm not there yet, nor have I become perfect. But I am charging on to gain everything, or anything and everything, the Anointed One Jesus has in store for me. I want it all. And nothing will stand in my way because He has grabbed me and won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but there's one thing I am doing. I'm leaving my old life behind, and I'm laying it all on the line. I'm putting everything on the line for this mission. I'm packing my coffin. I'm going all in." This next step of faith for Center Church will be the largest thing that we have ever attempted, and it will require us, all of us, to be truly devoted followers of Christ. It's the all-in moment. But here's the exciting part. It's literally going to change our church. Because God's up to something new and fresh. He's leading us to something new. And so I want to challenge you tonight with a pretty powerful question that I want you to think about. What would it take in your life for the generosity that you live out to change you? What would it look like if your generosity changed you? Not just the, oh, I was generous to that, you know, the dude on the sidewalk. I gave him 50 cents. Did it change you, though? That's fine, but did it change you? What would it take for it to change you? What would it look like what would it look like for you to be a pack your coffin person? To be the kind of person that says, from this place forward, I'm moving on to something new. There ain't no going back. I'm 100% in. What would it look like for you if it could actually be said of your life, when she came, there was no light. But when she left, there was no darkness. When he showed up, there was no light at all. When he left, there was no darkness at all. Because one of the things that is true about Center Church from the very beginning is that it is not about us. It's about Jesus at the center. We didn't set out to build a personality-driven church. My personality kind of stinks anyway, half the time. I got attitude problems. I got issues. So do you. That's why we get along so good. We didn't set out to build ministry and hope in the city because we're so great. We set out to build it because Jesus is great. And Jesus is what we need. My life is transformed because I had an encounter with him. It's been many years now. And over a long arc of walking with him, day by day by day, I'm in the ongoing process of being transformed by his goodness. That's why we say, Christ at the center of me, it's the best possible place for him to be enthroned. And then God, when you are enthroned there, set me on your mission in the darkest spot you can think of, and I'll be the light there. That's who we are as a church. Center Church is about God's power at work in us to make the love of God impossible to ignore. And what comes next for us is a permanent home for this upstart little church started in a backyard. It's time. It's time. And God isn't finished with Center Church, and he isn't finished with you. And so part of the reason that I brought you here tonight was so that maybe your horizons could be broadened. Maybe the way you see could be lifted. And you could begin to dream with me what it might look like for us to step into the next chapter, maybe even in a place like this. And not just for a building's sake, because I said at the beginning, Center Church is not a building. Center Church is people. But as people, we are also set on mission and purpose to go and reach and develop. And there's so many things about our next steps and vision that can only really be accomplished if we've got a spot to do them. And that's what's coming next for us. And so as you've heard me say a million times, anything's possible. And we still believe that. So this is the all-in moment. This is what I'm calling the all-in initiative. And I want to explain it to you a little bit because this is how we get from here to where I believe God wants to take us. And we have two primary goals. Here's our primary goal. It's 100% engagement. 100% participation all across the church. That means if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but I'm the one person he's not talking about, you've got it wrong. We're all in this together. We're handing out oars. We're all in the life raft together, and we're paddling for shore, baby. We want 100% engagement. We want 100% of our people to, before God, as an act of all-in surrender, just say, God, I want to have a life-altering encounter with you as it relates to my generosity and my finances. I want to have a conversation with you. I'm letting you in an area of my life. It's probably the most precious area in your life. It's like right up there with your sex life. Oh, is he talking about that? Yes, I am. This is the area that we're saying, God, 100%, we're just wanting you to come into this really key area in our life. It's an all-in moment for me. That's our primary goal, is that everybody get involved. And our secondary goal is that we're believing God for $2 million in generosity to accomplish this kingdom-building chapter of our church over the next 2 years. It's an all-in moment. Okay? I told you it was the biggest thing that we've ever done. It's a big, big moment. Our primary goal is 100% engagement. Our secondary goal is a $2 million in generosity over 2 years. And here's the thing. Because our primary goal is 100% engagement, if somebody came walking up here right now and wrote me a check for $2 million on the spot, after you revived me and, you know, lifted me up, we would still do all in. We would still do all in. Because the primary objective is not about finances. The primary objective is that we all get touched by an opportunity to engage with Jesus. One person doing that would not be us reaching our full potential as a team. This would not be us accomplishing God's plan for each one of us as disciples of Jesus. One person would represent like 0.01% of us. And frankly, that $2 million check might not even represent an all-in commitment for that person. The church reaching its financial goal is not what God's after. Although those resources we will steward as unto the Lord to accomplish the purposes that He's called us to. Let me be clear about that. But God's not looking for more money. He's looking for 100% of your heart. Please hear me. He's not like down in his bank account. He has no need of my financial resource. What he really wants is 100% of me. And I think the fact is God wants to do a major work in you. He wants us to enthrone him at the center of our lives with nothing held back. Nothing held back. No agenda, no sin, no attitude, no idol, no distraction, no false sense of security in something else. He wants nothing to get in our way. He wants 100% of you. Now here's the good news. Is that as I give God 100% of me, what I get set free from is the worry and the anxiety of trying to be in control of all of the uncontrollable parts of my life. And I have tried to lay my hands on all of those knobs and get them all turned so that everything works out just perfect. Have you ever tried that? Of course you have. It doesn't work, does it? What we get to experience when I give God the controls, He handles it, I get to experience the comfort and joy of His provision, the guidance of His light in my life. I get to experience God as my provider. I get to experience God as the faithful promise keeper that He is. All when I put Him at the center of my life. A lot of joy, a lot of purpose, a lot of pleasure in store for us when we commit ourselves to Him. And so He is calling us to an all-in step. This is an all-in mission, all in one budget. This is not a building campaign. This is an all-in deal. Here's how we'll do it. First, we're going to continue to be mission-centered. Mission-centered. What that means is we will invest $1 million into the day-by-day ministry that we do all the time. We're going to continue to reach the city the way that we are. We're going to continue to develop ministries to impact in the greatest possible way that we possibly can. $1 million over the course of 2 years to do exactly that. We're going to keep swinging for the fence, you guys. Then we will be multiplication-minded. And what that means is we're going to take in the remaining $1 million and we're going to invest that into the anchor and permanent home for Center Church. And that will lend impact to our vision in the city and give us greater opportunities to do ministry expressions that we've never even tried before. Our primary goal is 100% engagement. Our secondary goal is $2 million over the next 2 years. We want to be mission-centered and multiplication-minded. There ain't no status quo. We've been called to multiply. We've been called to go. So here's what I'm asking of you. Anytime God does something amazing in our lives, He calls us to consecrate ourselves before Him. This is a term that you may not think about all the time, but this is something that the Israelites, before they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land and conquered this land that God had promised to them, God wanted their undivided attention before they did that. And in Joshua 3:5, it says, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." The word consecrate means set yourself apart. It means make full devotion. It means before we go in, go all in. That's really what it means. It's dethroning yourself and enthroning Jesus before you step into the next chapter of what God has. And see, I think one of the fundamental problems that we have sometimes is that we try to do God's job for Him. And I know that it's even been true for me. Like, I really wanted to do something great for God. And oftentimes, man, I just get that wrong. Because it's actually the inverse. God wants to do great things for me. God wants to do something amazing in you. He doesn't need you to do something amazing for Him. Everything that I do, it's just basically kindergarten refrigerator art to God. He's honored by it. He loves it. He takes it from His kid. He even puts it up in a prominent spot. But it's not because I'm Monet, baby. It's dethroning me, enthroning Him. It's not me doing something awesome for Him. It's He wants to do something awesome for me. And one of my greatest concerns as a pastor, if I'm being totally honest with you, is that it's possible for people to go to church every week of their lives, wash, rinse, and repeat, and yet never go all in with Jesus. What a tragedy. They try to follow the rules and they never actually follow Christ. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to cheapen the gospel in that way. I'd rather do something else. So I'm not just calling you to buy in. I'm calling you to sell out. And there's a big difference. Don't just buy into what God's doing. Like, well, that seems like a decent idea. Sell out with radical abandon to what He has called you to do. Invite Him to come and take up residence right here. God, control all my agendas. Every priority I've got, I want to be in right alignment with You. I'm giving You full control of all the controls. He's calling me to sell out for that. He's calling me to pack my coffin. And here's the thing. If you don't pack your coffin, you don't sell out, I don't think you can ever enter the promised land, actually. Because God wants my attention before I receive from Him. If I don't go all in, I really end up missing out. And so will the people that I am called to reach. Remember that tombstone again. When He came, there was no light. When He left, there was no darkness. And I want to go all in with that kind of faith, don't you? I want to risk it all for Jesus. I want my life, once I have left this life, to have been about being the most darkness-smashing person that I could possibly be. And I can't think of a greater tribute that my children could pay to me than to stand on the day that I finally pack my coffin.
when they say he was a Jesus first man. All the way. I want that for you. I'm packing my coffin. And what it means is there's no going back for me. There was no going back for me before. I am a transformed man in 5 years. And I will be transformed again. You follow me around, it's in store for you too. There's so much more that God wants to do. And so tonight is not about asking you to make any sort of specific financial commitment. It's too premature for that. That moment will come. Tonight, I'm asking you to begin a journey of prayer with God. And it's in the most personal area in your life, in the area of your money. And I'm asking you to begin to talk to him about what he might be speaking to you about your personal stewardship, the personal stuff that he has given to you. I'm inviting you to step into an all-in conversation with God. And then to live out what is really a core value for us as a church, and that is to listen to Jesus and then do what he says. That sounds really simple. And I suppose the words of it are. The implications of it are profound. God, I'm listening to you. And when you speak, I'll do what you say. So I'm inviting you into this conversation. What I'd like to ask you to do here in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity. The band's going to come up here again and lead us in a time of worship some more. But we're going to give you a time to begin that conversation with Jesus. And I'm actually going to ask you, there's a little white card that's underneath your seat right now. Would you pull that out? And here's what I'd like you to do with that as the band takes their place. Is I'm going to ask each of you to begin to write out your prayer to God. God, what do you want to do in my life? And I want to encourage you, get brutally honest with him. If you don't have a pen, there's actually tables that are up here with some pens. You can come up and grab one here in just a second. But write out your request. Share your fears with him. And then here's what I'd like you to do. When you're done, as an act of surrender, here in just a second, just remain seated here just for a second. You're good. You guys are awesome. But here in just a second, just as an act of surrender, when you've completed your prayer, would you take it and roll it up real tight and come over and slip it in this little prayer wall right here? And what we're going to make is an entire wall of conversation with God. This is not a stale ritual. This is not a religious rite. Listen to me carefully. This is a one-on-one conversation. This is us taking the posture of reverence before God. Okay? So as you begin to pray, I want to bring us back to the passage of Scripture that I started with in Philippians 3. Listen to this again. Listen, focus here, just wait. Just real quick. Listen to this. I'm not there yet, Paul writes, nor have I become perfect. But I am charging on to gain anything and everything the Anointed One Jesus has in store for me. And nothing will stand in my way because he's grabbed me and he won't let me go. Brothers and sisters, as I said, I know I have not arrived, but one thing I am doing, I'm leaving my old life behind, putting everything on the line for this mission. I know we're in a public place and lots of folks in your row, but here in these closing moments, can you just take some one-on-one time to talk with God? Write out your prayer before him. Inquire of him. Set your fears before him. Rest the stuff that tends to hold you back, that you worry about. Put down all the yeah buts. Confess your heart and invite him to take up his rightful place at the center of your life. And make your requests known to him. But speak your faith commitment to him too.
And then when you're done, whenever you're done, roll it up real tight and come place it in that prayer wall that's right here to my left and your right. Jesus, we take this time now to quiet our hearts and focus upon you. We ask that you'd speak to us tonight. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today. The question now is, what are you going to do with what you just discovered? Take a step to connect with us in person? Or perhaps choose to support the ministry of Center Church with your financial generosity? Take your next right step and visit us online at centerchurchsd.com. See you next time.